But you, Bethlehem, erupt, though you are small among the clans of Judea. Out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flocks in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortress. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders.
And then from Luke 1:39 through 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, or sang, as some will say, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will be call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So can you tell when someone's in a good mood? What is that giveaway when you see, man, they're happy? Something great's happened to them. Maybe they're smiling, walking about, a little extra spring in their step. Certainly each of us have little behaviors that say they're in a good mood. Something little about us. But what about when it's more than just a good mood? What about those times when you receive what seems to be like the best news of your whole life? It causes you to toss aside everything and just celebrate wildly. Sort of look crazy and almost weird celebrating. People are like, what are they doing? Though it far too often seems these moments are sometimes far and few between, we do all have these occasional moments, this pure joy in our lives. Times when we toss aside all the social graces and all that, and we really enjoy it. We really celebrate. And we don't care what anybody else thinks. Maybe it comes when that news with someone close to you has been very sick, maybe in the hospital, is getting better, and they'll be coming home soon. Perhaps there is a great disaster coming towards your house or whatever it may be, and it went away in a flood, a fire, whatever it may be. Maybe it's news that all your money worries or your business worries or whatever it may be, they've been sorted out, and you're just fine. Everything's good. A telephone call that said, you got the promotion. You got the new job. The one that you've always longed for, that job you've always wanted. Whatever the news may be, when we're receiving such an announcement, we tend to do things we normally wouldn't. We break out in a dance, perhaps, or we shout and throw our hats in the air. We collapse on the couch in just total, utter surprise. I know I've done that a few times. We pick up the phone to call everybody we know just to share the news. Or maybe we throw a big party and invite everyone to it. Sometimes we could sing a song, especially one that we just make up on the spot. It talks about this marvelous occasion we're having. We're so full of happiness, we can clap our hands and stomp our feet in rhythm as we sing. That's the kind of thing we do when we have pure, complete happiness. Something crazy. Now, with that picture in mind, think of yourself, think of your friends, someone you've seen do this. Consider this passage we heard from Luke's gospel today. It's the story of Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth. Mary has just learned that she's pregnant with a child of God. And by the way of confirmation, she has an angel that tells her a long-bearing cousin, Elizabeth, is also pregnant. So Mary, she sets out to see her cousin, to share the good news of herself and to celebrate in the good news of her cousin. When Mary greets Elizabeth, there can be no question that these two women are very happy. They're experiencing complete delight, and the responses, they reveal that. Elizabeth is so excited that the baby within her leaps with joy. And Mary, she breaks out in this song she just makes up. It's called Mary's Magnificat. It's Latin for amazing song or something along those lines. It's just a made-up song, a spontaneous reaction that occurs in this great, joyful moment. But as Mary sings, what she expresses is far more than just this happiness, this passing happiness of being pregnant or having this baby with a cousin having a baby, whatever it may be. It's more than that. Instead, Mary, she's also expressing some of the greatest hopes, some of the greatest dreams of all the Israelite people, which will now be fulfilled with this baby that she is raising. Can you imagine something that you've been waiting for, longing for in your religious life or your personal life, whatever it may be, and then your parents, your grandparents, all your family, your ancestors have also been longing for this, and it's about to happen through you. How can you help but be excited? And Mary, she sure was. But this is more than just excitement. It's more than just a simple happiness that we dance along to or whatever it may be. Because we know happiness is often fleeting, you could say. The healed relative, they return home. Everything gets back to normal, back to the routine. And then something else pops up. More challenges emerge. The flood waters recede, only to be replaced by a burned out car engine. A few months into that brand new dream job, we realize we're being worked to death. I don't even see our family anymore. Just like that, these feelings of happiness that once were so prevalent, they might be gone, replaced by something else. Probably more often than that, we think that we are reminded that happiness can sometimes be fleeting. But joy is something greater. Joy is something else. Joy is more than a good feeling. It's more than something that just happens for a few moments. It's more lasting. Joy is the fulfillment of our greatest dreams. Knowledge of a peace that sustains us all the time. In every place in our lives, everywhere we may be. Even in the midst of life's ups and downs, joy is always there. Joy, it's always present. It's never past, it's never future, it's always present. I've heard it said happiness is an outside job, but joy is an inside job. I think the reason for that is the case because joy comes from God. Real joy is only possible because God's work in the world, which is precisely why when we encounter Mary and Elizabeth in this passage from Luke's gospel, they're not just happy, they're full of joy. I suppose it seems rather odd that we call Mary and Elizabeth's celebration something joyful. Hear me out here, shall I? Let's follow along. When Mary is getting excited about people being pulled away from their thrones and being sent away without food, remember it saying, let me go back to it. Bring down the rulers from their thrones and send the rich away empty. It's almost a crazy idea, almost like anarchy, everything getting overthrown. Everything's weird and different. But this is how God works in the world. He's turning oppressive powers upside down, establishing his reign of peace and justice, just as he's always promised, for everybody. Not just the powerful, the elite, but for everybody, and bringing everybody joy. And that's why these women are so excited. That's why they're so happy. That's why they're so full of joy. They're celebrating God, celebrating this promise, this welcoming of God into the world to fix it, you could say. God is at work, beating down the bullies and blessing the outcast. God has taken the initiative to turn the fortunes of the poor, the hungry, enslaved, and miserable. And if that's not reason to celebrate, I don't know what is. If that's not a source of pure joy, then there is none. In fact, Mary and Elizabeth's celebration was so pure and complete, and this song was so amazing. It inspired church festivals and celebrations and kingdoms for years to come. I don't know if any of you have seen sort of an older movie for young kids, but The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Have you ever seen that? It's been a long time since I've seen it. It's a good movie. But there's a scene where they're in this medieval church. There's this annual festival called the Feast of Fools. Kloppen is the host of this. He's, you know, telling about it, singing about it. He said, everything's topsy-turvy. Weeds are a bouquet, and every man's a king, and every king's a clown. In these ancient festivals, these ancient celebrations, the people would hold fake elections. They would elect bogus officials. And these officials, they'd put their clothes inside out. They'd walk around with books upside down and talking gibberish, just making fun of the people in power. They were mocking the elite. And why did they do this? Why did they let it happen even? The reason the Feast of Fools even began, it's almost a literal reenactment of Mary's song. The powerful were mocked as the low lives, so to speak, became the favored for a day. At its core, the Feast of Fools was an odd witness to the God who topples human power structures, turns the world topsy-turvy, and raises the downtrodden to a position of honor and feasting. So it says, makes the king come off the thrones, sends away hungry, gives it to the poor, gives it to the least of these. There's another way you can read Mary's song a little bit if you take it really seriously. If you don't read everything around it, just read the song. It's nothing more than a sour and angry rant from a girl who's harboring a lot of bitterness. But Mary, she wasn't angry. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't like, man, I can't wait for them to get what's coming to them. She was happy. She was watching God's plans unfold, watching these promises come true that have been preached in their churches and their synagogues for years and years, through generations. It is unfolding right before her eyes, right inside her. Even though Jesus, he hasn't been born yet, she already knows he's going to turn the world upside down. And it's the most wonderful, exciting news of her whole life. She was full of joy like she had never experienced before. The kind of joy that can only be expressed completely with singing and dancing, laughing and celebrating in the streets, just as the people did at the Feast of Fools. This morning, we take one little peek into the brief moments of the lives of Mary and Elizabeth. It was just happens to be the moment when they're realizing that the God they have so faithfully loved and followed is really beginning to make this change in the world for the better that he promised he always would through all the prophets, all these promises they've been waiting for, and here it is. They cannot contain their joy. There's a celebration which should continue even today. Especially today, now that God's work in Christ is about to begin at Christmas, has already begun in our lives. As we watch God's work unfold in the world, we should be celebrating the same way that Mary and Elizabeth did so many years ago. God's gift of joy is offered to each of us. As Jesus Christ is busy making this world a better place, it should be a constant source of joy for each of us as well. To see this world being turned topsy-turvy, to be turned over and all of God's promises made true. And that is why we should never stop celebrating the God who makes all things right and makes all things new. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for bringing us together this morning to worship you, to praise you, to come together in joy and celebration of all the works you're doing in this world. Before we were born, after we're gone. All these works are turning the world topsy-turvy. And Lord, again, bless all of us during this Christmas season to be a constant reminder to everyone around us of your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.